just take my fishing pole and drive her around. Well, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Glad I'm in the house of the Lord. Glad I'm able to come. We'll not try to hold you long. It might get a little slickery out there after a while, so we'll try to get out in time to get back over the mountain or up the holler or wherever you need to go. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Appreciate those that felt like coming on out to help us tonight. Amen. God bless you for being adventurous and just coming on out to worship the Lord. Matthew chapter number 16 instead of 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Very familiar passage of scripture. Thank you for your giving and the offering this week. And last week, everything that's been done for us, it's been tremendous. And we just appreciate it. Appreciate Brother Randy and his friendship and hospitality and just doing everything he could do to make us feel at home and took care of and feel welcome. We just, it's just been my pleasure, my delight to get to spend a little time with him. And just appreciate his life and his family and just everything. Matthew chapter number 16. Verse number, well, let me just back up to verse 13 real quick and I'll try to read a few of these verses to us. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." One verse here, very familiar passage, just a few minutes here tonight. "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. I'm glad I'm in the church. How about you? I'm glad that I'm a part of the church. You know, I feel that God wants all of us to realize that the church is the greatest institution on the face of this earth. The reason why is found really in this verse of scripture. It was built by Jesus himself. And so it is the greatest institution on the face of this earth. And I know that when we look at this scripture, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock," or upon this fact that you have stated that I am the Christ, upon that's what I'm going to build my church on. Upon the very fact that I am the Son of God, that I am Christ. And, you know, Jesus went on there and talked to Peter and said, "Thou art Peter." And a lot of good things could be said about that. But Jesus here was letting the disciples know that he built the church. And the church was built upon him. And the fact that, concerning his deity and that he is the Son of God. And then he went on to say, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Now, I know that, you know, as time goes on, Brother Randy taking me all back here and showing me these churches. And, you know, we were discussing about why and how, you know, their reasoning about building churches where they were. But it's hard for us to understand in a modern time of convenience where it doesn't bother us to get in a vehicle and drive 20 miles to church. But back then, you know, churches really were built a lot of times. I know revivals broke out and there were prayer meetings and things sprung up and work started. But a lot of churches were built to make it convenient where people could go to church. you know, where they could get to church and walk to church. And that's the way a lot of them did. Wagons, horses, you know, mules, whatever. But in this age that we're living in, the church, in a lot of people's eyes, really doesn't hold a very important place in a lot of people's eyes, especially people that are in the world. I mean, in the eyes of many, the church just don't rate. They don't classify the church to be a very important thing or to have much significance in this world. But I still believe that it's the greatest institution that ever was, because it was built by Jesus himself. One man put it like this. He said the church compared to the world's institutions, I mean, if you're going to put them side by side, the church compared to the institutions of the world is about as important as a hay straw floating beside a luxurious ocean liner going down the river. That's how some people look at the church. It just really don't count for much, or it really don't mean much. It don't have any significance. But I feel that the church is very, very important, don't you? And I'm not talking about just the four walls. And you know, the church is built, and the church was built for several different reasons. And I'm going to mention a few of those here tonight. And then we're going to pray and go home if it be the Lord's will. But the church, one reason why that it is significant is the church is a moral compass for society. And I heard, you know, just this evening, coming on, sometimes I listen to Hank Hanegraaff. He's the Bible answer man. Some of you probably heard him, you know. Some of his answers are good. I don't know if I agree with all of his answers, but he was talking about some prominent denominations, and he named them. There was the Methodist and the Lutheran and the Presbyterian. There were some others, you know, that have accepted homosexuals into the pulpit, have accepted homosexual marriage and all of these things. And, you know, he talked about how that there were so many churches that were being swayed on their opinion, and even, you know, tearing down some of the things that their denominations and doctrines were built on. But the church really wasn't supposed to go with the flow or bend with the trim. The church was supposed to set the standard. And the reason why that we need a church in America, especially in this time and in our culture that we're living in, the church of the living God is to be that moral compass in society. Now, another reason why we need the church: who else can deal with death like the church can? You say, well, we got the Undertaker. Well, you know, he can deal, you know, to a certain extent. But there's been times that the preacher has to be called in, because the Undertaker can only do so much. But you know, with the church, nobody really can prepare somebody to die like the church can. And the gospel that is being offered to the world from the church. So, you know, the church is a moral compass. Nobody can deal with death like the church. What institution can you name tonight that can deal with the issues of life like the church can? You can come into the church, I'm talking about the real church of God, with any kind of problem that life can present to you, and the church has got the answer. That's why the church is important. That's just three reasons right there why that we need a church. But you know, a lot of people really don't look at the church as very significant. They really don't see the importance of the church. I know when it comes to education, I appreciate a Christian school. You know, I appreciate every effort here. Probably, this is probably one of the largest Christian schools that I've ever been around. 90 to 100 students, maybe more, I don't know. But when it comes to education, in a lot of places, the church really can't compete. They say that there's a couple of problems that every Christian school has. Number one, it's lack of finances. Number two, it's lack of help. That's usually a problem in just about every Christian school I've ever been around. But you know, on a secular level, the church really can't compete when it comes to education, when it comes to economics or finances, when it comes to space programs, and when it comes to big corporations. There's a lot of areas that, you know, when we look at it from a secular view or a secular level, the church really can't compete. We may not be able to compete on a secular level, but when it comes to spiritual things, praise God. Amen. The true church of the living God stands incomparable, because the church's education program, amen, says this: we must know Christ. Praise God. Amen. The world teaches a lot of other things that you must know, but the church's main education program says that we must know Christ. If you bring it on down to the economics class in the church, it would say that we must seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and then all these other things would be added unto us. If you talk about the space program, well, the Bible said there'd be a new heaven and a new earth. And I guess I could go on with that, but my main point here tonight is to let us understand, amen, that a lot of people feel like the church is not important and that it's insignificant, but I say it's the greatest, the highest, the most important institution that is in this world, and I'm glad that I'm a part of it. I'm glad that my family has a good old-fashioned holiness church to attend. Praise God. A church that's not afraid to put the horn to their lips and be a moral compass in this godless society. Amen. A church that will, you know, is not afraid to deal with somebody about to die. Amen. A church that's got the answer. Amen. For people that's having trouble in life. Amen. I'm telling you, we need the church. Amen. And Jesus said, it's my church. Amen. And I built it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm telling you, we need the church. You know, the church was not intended to be a babysitter or a place to have weddings or a place to have social gatherings, amen, or just a place to have funerals, amen, but the church is a haven of rest. Praise God. A place where people can come and find hope and rest. Amen. For their sinful soul. But here's where we're at. The devil really would like for us to somehow, you know, forget about the significance of the church. And in the book of Nehemiah, there's a verse of scripture that said, you know, the work is great and large, Brother Andy. And then it said, but we're separated on the wall. And, you know, if there's one thing the devil would like to use, amen, and that is division. To get us separated on the wall and to get us at a place where, you know, we are divided. And really, that's one of the most effective tools is division that would bring confusion, amen, and strife, amen. But I want to stay on the wall, don't you? And I want to stay together on the wall. Praise God, because we got a great work. It's a great work. It's a large work. Amen. It's the church of God. Amen. And I don't want to ever get to the place where I lose, amen, in my focus and realize how important the church is. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The church is very, very important. And just for a few more minutes here, I want to talk about the church's importance in our life. I read this story, and it said a typical American family was driving home from church one Sunday. Dad was fussing about the length of the sermon and commenting about how boring that it was. Mom said that the organist played too loudly, especially during the second hymn. Sis, she was griping, saying that she was a music major, by the way. She said the So Lost was a half a note off key. Grandma couldn't hear anything they was all griping about. So they finally pulled into the driveway, and little Willie, after listening to everything that's been said, he said this. He said, yeah, but you gotta admit, it was a good show for a nickel. Come on now. You know, I'm afraid that, Brother Randy, that there's more and more people that feel like attending church is kind of like attending some kind of entertainment show or entertainment program. And the better the entertainment, the happier they are. But, Brother, you get let the show get really bad, and the less they like what they see and what they hear, and the more they grumble and the more they complain. Amen. But when you get serious about the church and you realize how significant it is, amen, in your own life, and we get back to a place in God, amen, when the church is number one, amen, the greatest thing that ever happened to us is that we could be saved out of sin, and God would put us in the church. Brother, when you get serious about the church's importance, all of a sudden things change, and you feel less about entertainment, and you feel more about an experience, amen, in the Holy Ghost, and an experience in God. All of a sudden you feel less freedom, amen, to fuss and gripe and complain, and you feel more like investing your time and your money and your prayer, amen, because you realize, amen, the church's importance in your life. Praise God. Amen. It's more than a place to have funerals and weddings and to be a babysitter.
Amen. But it's a place where I can come and I can bring my family when I'm burdened down with life issues. And when we get to the place where we don't realize the church is important, amen, we're on dangerous ground. Hallelujah. Amen. But I look back in my own life, and I got to hurry tonight, but I look back in my own life when me and Sister Teresa was first married. This coming December will be 22 years that we've been together. But I remember when we first got married, I felt a little independence, you know. And Brother Robert, we were having a revival with Brother Mark Brock. And I felt a little independence, you know. Like, well, you know, if we want to go to church, we will. We're married now. We got our own castle. Amen. If we want to go to revival, we will. If we don't, we won't. We're grown-ups. We're adults. We make our own decisions. And we felt so there were some times, you know, when we could have went to church and we didn't. Come on now. We didn't really have a reason. We didn't have an excuse. We just didn't go. We laid out. We felt that independence. But really what was happening in my own heart, amen, I was losing, amen, the significance of the church, amen, and the importance of the church in my own life. We were having revival with Brother Mark Brock, and we had missed a few nights of that meeting. And one night he met me at the back door, and he said, hey, he said, in your town where you live, do they sell the USA Today newspaper? And I said, well, sure, I think we do. And so he gave me 50 cents and he said, why don't you bring me one tomorrow night? Praise God. Amen. It took me a few years to realize really the motive behind that. Amen. He was staying in Locust Grove, and there wasn't much beyond the flashing light in Locust Grove. Now we've got a Denny's and a Holiday Inn and a Sonic Drive-In and a Taco Hut, and it's expanding. And amen. But back in them days, I thought, well, the poor soul just can't find a paper. But really, amen, he was trying to let me understand, amen, that church ought to be number one in my life. Amen. Is there anybody in this house that realizes, amen, that if we're not careful, when we lose the importance of the church, amen, we don't invest our time, and we don't invest our treasure, and we don't invest our life, and none of that happens until the church becomes, amen, unimportant in our life. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm glad that I'm saved, and I got a name written in glory. Amen. The church has got to be number one. Amen. Don't ever get to the place where it loses its significance in your life. So we've got to see the church's importance. Amen. Here's one reason why it's important. The church is one of the involvements in your life. How many feels like sometimes you get involved in too many things? Come on. As the old saying is, we got too many irons in the fire. Do you ever hear that? Do you ever feel that? Sometimes my wife has told me, you just need to learn to say no sometimes. My mom used to get aggravated at my dad because he was a well driller by trade, and he'd work all day, and he'd come home and he had a little shop out back where he did mechanic work, and she'd have supper on the table and he'd sit down and start to eat. Somebody'd pull up and honk the horn. Hey Art, can you come out here and put a radiator hose on, or can you come out here? And he'd get up from the supper table, and that'd aggravate mom because she said, you know, I wish he'd at least just sit down and eat. But he had irons in every fire. I mean, he was always busy and always doing something. Oh God. So we're involved in a lot of things. But I'm gonna tell you something about being involved in the church. Amen. The church is one of the involvements in your life. Amen. That reaches out instead of reaching in. I know we gotta work. Amen. With all the jobs that we have here, amen, represented here tonight, you got different jobs, amen, but even when you get it down to your own job, still that's something that reaches in, because you got to work to have money to pay your bills, isn't that right? Amen. But who's that for? That's for you. That reaches in. Amen. Well, we got to have school. Amen. We've got to have an education, and that's good, but that's still an in-reach. Amen. Educate ourselves. Amen. Help us to learn more. Amen. And excel. Amen. And curriculum and things. Amen. But school is still an in-reach. Amen. Well, the home is very important. You ladies that take care of the home, amen, but still that reaches inward, amen, that nurtures your own family, amen, that helps to nurture your children and your companion, amen, but when it comes down to the church, and when you are part of the church, my friend, it don't just reach in, amen, but you're involved all of a sudden in something, amen, that reaches out, amen, and that's why we gotta have people. people, amen, in the church. Does anybody understand that it's time, and it's high time, amen, that we reach outward instead of just reaching inward? Amen, I'd like to get involved in the church. I'd like to get my heart in it and my soul in it. That's what's got to be important in our life. Amen. When we reach out, we are evangelizing. Are y'all getting this tonight? Amen. The church is important because of evangelism. It don't matter if it's across the street or across the state or across the sea. Sometimes we sing that song, you know, if it's your will, Lord, to go across the sea, Lord. But we won't go across the street sometimes. Help us now. Amen. But this is why the church is important. Amen. Is because it is an outreach. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That evangelism, God outstretches his arms. Amen. To whosoever will to win the lost. Amen. But we, the church, amen, are one of the methods that God uses, amen, to carry the gospel, amen, outside these four walls. I don't want it to be our four no more. Amen. I don't want to contain everything, amen, that God grants us. Amen. And shut it all up in here. Amen. But it should be an outreach. We ought to take what we get in here and take it on the outside, that somebody can come in, amen, to the church. Amen. God didn't design the church to entertain. Amen. God designed the church to evangelize. And anybody shout amen. Hallelujah. That's why God needs you to get involved, amen, in the church and realize how important it is in your life. You know, when people badmouth the church and they see little significance in the church and they don't understand how important the church is and they don't care about the existence of the church, this may be stretching it, but I really feel like there's some people, you could pick up the phone and say, well, we can't have church tonight because the church burnt down. Probably wouldn't bother them a bit. Unless they left a pair of shoes there or a guitar there. Or coloring book here. Because we're living in a time when people really just don't see how important the church is. But I'm telling you, when people start bad-mouthing the church, and they don't see any importance for its existence, amen, I pity that individual, I really do. Amen, they simply must not understand, amen, that we've got to have a church. And so I'm going to ask you tonight, has your appreciation for the church, amen, been sagging a little bit? Amen, I'd like to encourage you, amen, to appreciate the church. Amen. More than you ever have. I'd like to elevate our appreciation. Amen. For God's house. Praise God. Amen. I don't want the church, amen, just to be a good show for a nickel. Amen. Brother, I want to go there. Amen. For an experience in God. Amen. I want it to be priority. Amen. And number one in my life. Can anybody shout amen? Now, I ain't getting on anybody that's not here tonight. Because they're not here, we are, so I guess we need it. Praise God. But I'm just telling you that I pity the individual that does not realize, amen, the church's importance in their own life. Do y'all feel like it's important? Do you feel like the church is really important? I'm going to skip over a brief history of the church here. Amen. But not the next thing that I want to get to. Amen. Is your importance to the church. Not only is the church important to you, but you are important to the church. You really are. You are important to the church. Right. Praise God. Don't ever let the devil tell you that nobody needs you and the church doesn't need you. Praise God. Everybody that's saved and is a part of the body of Christ is needed. Can anybody shout amen? Amen. Oh, there's some people that just feel like, you know, that they're not needed and that they're not important. But I'm telling you, everybody that comes to this church, Keene Mountain Holiness Church, everybody that comes here, we need you. You are important to us. You say, well, I don't play or I don't teach or I don't have money to give or I can't do this, can't do that. Amen. God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12:27 said, amen, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I have a body. You have a body. Amen. And we have members in particular. We have hands and we have feet. Amen. There's particular, amen, functions that each one of those do. Amen. And I'm not going to get into all of that. Amen. But verse 28 said that God has sent some in the church. Amen. What are they? First apostles. Amen. Second prophets. Amen. Third teachers. After that, there are miracles and gifts of healing. And then there are helps. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. You are needed. One woman told her preacher one time, she said, well, I just don't feel like I'm anything in the church. I don't feel like I'm anything but the little toe in the body of Christ. And he said, well, Jesus said that all things was under his feet. So if you're nothing but the little toe, you're still on top. Praise God. I'm telling you, we need you. I said, we need you. Amen. You may not carry a tune in a bucket. Clap your hands. Praise God. Amen. You may not be able to give an offering. Amen. Pick up the Kleenexes. Amen. Duct tape the songbook. Amen. Do whatever you can do. Amen. Be a help. Let God know I love my church. Let God know I'm glad to be in the church. Let God know I realize, amen, that when I see the importance of the church, amen, and realize that I'm important to the church, amen, I'll be more effective. Can anybody shout amen? Amen. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus said it's my church and I built it and the gates of hell shall not prevail? Is there anybody in this house that's glad to be a part of the church of the living God? Praise God. Highest institution that there is. Oh, glory to God. And you are important to the church. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Number one, the church is important to you. And number two, amen, your importance to the church. I don't want to make anybody feel like they're not needed. Praise God. I mean, even when you look at that, the scripture where the man with the withered hand, it wasn't doing much. It looked like it just hung around and got in the way. Praise God. You ever seen anybody like that? Come on now. You thought, well, that part of the body is dead. They're just hanging around getting in the way. But there came a day when Jesus healed that and fixed that. Whoa, glory to God. Amen. We need some healing to take place in some of our churches. I understand. Amen. But I don't want to just cut them off and throw them away. Oh, my father-in-law, bless his heart. He had that terrible automobile accident a few years ago. And this arm has got nerve damage and he can't hardly do much. He's so limited. He can barely grip. He was a tremendous guitar picker. And now he hadn't been able to play in 3.5 years. But that old hand, you know, it hurts him and it gives him problems and he don't have much strength and it's weak and it's damaged. Amen. But you know what he said? He said, I'm glad I still got it. Come on now. And I want you to know we're glad we still got you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Everybody is important to the church. Praise God. Can anybody shout amen? Amen. Oh, I wish tonight we could elevate our appreciation for God's house. I wish tonight we could elevate, amen, the significance of the house of the Lord. Amen. In our own heart. Praise God. Amen. Not only that, this is it, and I'm going to let us go here tonight. Your involvement in the church. Number one, prayer. If you want to get involved in this church, you pray and become a prayer warrior, and you'll be involved. Praise God. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When's the last time you just prayed for everybody? You know, somebody told me one time, said, I tried to pray an hour, I just can't do it. I tried to pray 30 minutes, I just can't do it. Why don't you get involved in your church and pray for everybody in your church? Make you a list. You probably got a church directory. Most churches do now. Amen. Pray, pray, pray. Amen. You can get involved in the church. Amen. And one of the greatest ways to get involved is learn how to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Pray for the man of God. I know you do. Amen. Pray for his family. I know you do. Amen. Pray for your own family. Amen. Pray ye one for another. Amen. If you want to get involved in your church, learn to pray. Number two, attendance. This might not be a good night to hit this one, but I might as well. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And what else did the scripture say? As the manner of some is. I said the other night, there's times when you can't go. But when it starts being a manner of your life. Brother Andy, you ever preached on bad manners? As the manner of some is. Boy, that'd preach. Come on, when it starts to be getting, you know, a manner in your life, a bad manner. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's so much more as you see that day approaching. Amen. If you want to get involved in your church, one of the best ways to get involved is show up. Hallelujah. Show up. Go to church. Praise God. Amen. If the crappie's biting in the spring and it rolls around Sunday morning. Amen. I don't flip a coin. I don't draw a straw. I don't pick a number. I just go to church. Can anybody shout amen? When it's deer season. Amen. There ain't no other thing on my mind on Sunday morning. Amen. I don't dread climbing a deer stand because I ain't a going. I don't dread sitting in the cold because I ain't a going. Amen. The house of God. Amen. Be faithful. Amen. Get involved in your church. Amen. And go there. Show up. Hallelujah. Learn how to be a faithful in attending the house of God. Number three, if you want to get involved in the church, support. Praise God. Tithe and offerings. Woo! And I tell you, y'all's give good. And I appreciate everything. And any time a preacher starts talking about money, people clam up and it gets quiet. One man said so quiet you could hear a gnat burp. But how many knows we ought to support the church? Come on now. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I try to tell our young people at home church? Amen. Those that are up old enough working a job now, I try to tell them pay their tithes. Praise God. Pay their tithes. Can anybody tell me when the Sunday school offering is passed? Not, don't raise your hand, but how many feels like it's normal to give a dollar? That's just a normal thing. We've raised up giving a dollar at the most because it's nothing but Sunday school. Nothing but Sunday school. Where'd that come from? How did it lose its importance? Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. One man said, if we go to the restaurant, put $5 on the table for the waitress and then put a dollar in the offering. He had a big long name that he called people that done that. Amen. But I tell you what I'd rather do. I just want to let God know, amen, that the church is important in my life and I feel like supporting the church. Can anybody shout amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you want to be involved in the church, pray. Amen. Go to church. Amen. Support. Amen. And number four, worship. If you want to get involved in the church, I tell you that you can do that when you ain't got a dollar. You can do that when you ain't got a dime. Praise God that you heard that story about that one little boy. You know, they passed the offering plate and he didn't have anything to give and he felt so bad. He slapped both pockets and touched his hip pockets. Here come the plate and he's nervous. He didn't have anything to give and it went right on by. And he felt so bad because he couldn't put anything in the offering. And when the ushers got done, come up to the front, he went up there. A little boy did and he got the offering pan and he put it down on the floor and he pulled his shoes off and he stepped over into the plate and said, God, amen, is it all right if I just give myself to you? I don't have a dollar, I ain't got a quarter, and I ain't got a dime. Praise God. Amen. Give yourself to worship. Hallelujah. You say, well, my back hurts. Is the church important? Amen. Well, it's cold out. But is the church important? Amen. Did you forget? Amen. That the gates of hell ain't gonna prevail. And we are winners. Amen. We're in a part of the church. The highest institution that there is. Amen. Built by the Lord. Praise God. We ain't on a ball team. We ain't in a big corporation. We're in the church. It ain't the Masonic Lodge or the Cherokee tribe. It's the church. And I ought to be able to give myself. I ought to be able to pray. I ought to be able to show up and show out and love God because the church is important to me. Praise God. Sister Teresa, come. Woo! Glory to God. Huh? Is the church important to you? Have you forgot how important you are to the church? And Brother Randy talked about Brother Dale last night. Man died helping the church. Woo! Oh, God. Hallelujah. Get involved. Your involvement to the church. I read this story, heard this story, and I'm closing, but you've heard it, I'm sure. Man was walking home one evening from work. He heard a scuffle in the alley. It sounded like a struggle. Could hear a female voice, a young girl scream. He noticed that there was probably an assault of some kind or some kind of attack. He hesitated for a moment and thought he should go to the aid of this person that was being victimized. And then he said, no, I just won't get involved. And he went on home. A few hours, his telephone rang. And the news came. It said, your daughter has been assaulted in a dark alley. And gave the address. Come on now. And it was the very alley, the very corner, on the very street that he decided not to get involved. But I tell you what, I ain't going to just sit back and row your boat and gently down the stream and let the devil victimize us. I'm going to do my part. Can anybody shout amen? I don't think I'm going to sit back and, you know, cross my legs and let the church go to hell in a handbasket and let the devil have his way in every service. I believe I'll stand if everybody else is sitting down. I believe I'll raise my hands if nobody else feels like it. Praise God. I think I'll do whatever I can to get involved. Amen. You want the church to go on? You want the church to rise? Amen. You want the church to be victorious? Amen. Get involved in it. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand tonight. God bless you. Let's lift our hands and say, Lord, amen, bring me back. Amen. To where I see the importance and the significance of the work of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. The work is large and it's great. Nehemiah said we're separated on the wall. I tell you, we need unity. Amen. Let's get together for the work of God here. Can anybody shout amen? Praise God. You say, Brother Kevin, we are together. Well, I like how the old black woman put it. She said, unity is this. U-N-I-T-I. Praise God. That's unity. Woo! Amen. Let's bind together. How about it, church? Amen. Let's bind together. Amen. The work is great and it's large. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's worship together. Amen. Let's support the work of God together. Is the church important in your life? Do you see the significance? God bless you. Let's come and pray tonight. Let's come seek the Lord a little bit here. Amen. Ask God to elevate your appreciation for the church.